Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Mem Daled. Says the Mishnah, Heviu lefanav maliach betchila. They served him a salty item first, upas imoy, and together with that they served him bread. Says the Mishnah, Mevorech al maliach. He makes a bracha on the maliach, on the salty item, and by doing so, upaiter es hapas. He exempts the bread from a bracha. Why? Sha'apas tfeilaloi. Because the bread is a tuffel. It is subordinate. It is secondary to the maliach, to the salty item. And as we know, zaklal, this is the general rule. Kol shu ikar, v'imay tfeila. Whenever you have a primary item, a primary food, which is the ikar, and together with it, v'imay tfeila, comes something that is secondary, that is subordinate. Mevarech ala ikar. He makes a bracha on the primary food, and by doing so, upaiter es hatfeila. He exempts the tuffel. No bracha is required on the tuffel. It is included, it is covered by the bracha on the primary food. Ask Taisvis, haven't we already learned this halacha in the earlier Mishnah? What is the chiddush of the Mishnah here? What is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Says Taisvis, the Mishnah is coming to add a chiddush that even bread, which is so chashuv, so significant, a staple of one's meal, nevertheless, the concept of tuffel can be applied to bread as well, and it too can be exempt if it is considered to be a tuffel of a different item. Says the Gemara, how can this be that bread is a tuffel, it's considered to be a secondary item? Umi ikar midi, can that be so to have a maliach ikar, that the salty item should be considered the primary food, upas tfeila, and the bread should be secondary? Isn't bread, it comes to satisfy one's hunger, it's a staple of one's meal. How can that be that pas is merely considered to be a tuffel? Says Gemara, you're right. Ordinarily, in the conventional circumstance, certainly bread is considered to be the ikar. But here it's different. Amar v'acha breda v'avira amar v'ashi. We're speaking about a unique situation. Ve'oichlei peiros ginoiser shanu. The Mishnah is discussing a case where one has eaten the peiros ginoiser, the fruit, the juicy, fatty, exceptionally sweet fruit that grow in the Lake Kinneret region, around the Yam Kinneret. And the fruit there is exceptionally sweet and requires to be supplemented with salt, with something salty, so that the sweetness doesn't affect his heart, as Taisa says, it weakens the heart. So one is to supplement his eating of Peres Ginoisar with a supplement of salt. In order that the excessive salt shouldn't harm him, he goes ahead and adds some bread. So it comes out that the bread is really a tuffel. It is really secondary to all the other items, to the salty item and to the peres ginoisar, and therefore it doesn't require any bracha on its own. Gemara Megillah says, why is it called Yam Kineres? Because it's fruit. The fruit that grows in that area are sweet, like the sweet sounds of a kinar, of a harp. Okay, so that's the pshat in the Mishnah. We're speaking about a person who ate those peres ginoisa, which are exceptionally sweet. He needed to supplement it with something salty. In order that the salty item shouldn't harm him, he supplements that with some bread. And therefore, the bread is considered to be a tuffel of the salty item. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us that he makes a bracha on the maliach, which is considered to be the ikar. And by doing so, he exempts the bread. Ask Taisus Akasha, why does he need to make a bracha on the maliach? If we're discussing one who is eating peres ginoisar, that is the ikar. That's considered to be the primary food. As Rashi explains, that the peres ginoisar are chashuvim min hapas. They're even more significant, more chashuv. They're of higher value than the bread. So ask Taisus, why can't he simply make a bracha on the peres ginoisar, and pater exempt everything else? Why does the Mishnah say that he makes a bracha mevarech al maliach upoiter es hapas, because the pas is tefillah to the maliach? Let him simply make a bracha on the peres, which they are the true ikar, and exempt everything else. As Taisus was speaking about, that he didn't have a mind to eat the salty thing on the bread, or he changed his location, he ate the peres in one location and he continued over in a different location. Since it was a shini makim, it requires a new bracha on the new item, which is the maliach. But since he makes a bracha on the maliach, and the bread is merely coming to supplement the salty items, so to prevent it from harming him. So certainly the bread doesn't require its own bracha. Now it's pretty clear from Tosfos, it would seem from Tosfos Teretz, that whenever we have an ikar and a tafel, the tafel item also really requires a bracha, but it's merely covered by the bracha on the primary item. It's not that the tafel doesn't require any bracha whatsoever. Only the ikar requires a bracha, but the secondary item doesn't require a bracha. If that would be the case, then how can Tosfos say that when he made a bracha on the peiros in one location, but then he went over and he uprooted himself and he carried over to a different location to eat the maliach, the pas, which are items that are tafel to the peiros, but since he changes location, that requires a bracha. If a tafel never needs a bracha, in this case as well, it should need a bracha, because the maliach and the pas are still being eaten as a result of the peiros. They're subordinate, secondary to the peiros. They're still tafel to the peiros, even though they're eaten in a different location. So why do they require a bracha? Why does he need make a bracha on the maliach? Since it's merely a tafel of the peiros. So apparently it's obvious from Tosfos. And Tosfos learns that a tafel technically, theoretically requires a bracha. However, when a person makes a bracha on the ikar, this exempts, this covers the tafel. Meaning that even if the ikar and the tafel require two different types of brachas, one's a fruit, one's a vegetable, nevertheless, the tafel becomes attached, becomes subordinate to the ikar, and therefore the bracha made on the ikar applies to the tafel as well, regardless of what bracha the tafel would theoretically require. It gets the same bracha, it gets the same status. It's put on the same plane as the ikar. And by making bracha on the ikar, whatever the ikar requires, that bracha applies to the tafel as well. Therefore, we understand Tosfos very well. When a person changes locations, in this case, even though it's still, he's still eating the maliach as a tafel, nevertheless, a tafel always requires a bracha. But generally speaking, all over, it's included in the ikar. In this case, it can't be included since he changed places. He made a shini makim. He made the bracha on the ikar in one location and the bracha on the tafel in a different location. So therefore, he needs to make a separate bracha even on the tafel, which in this case is the maliach. But by making a bracha on the maliach, certainly he exempts the pas, because the pas and the maliach are being eaten in the same location. So, to summarize, it would seem from Tosfos that an ikar requires a bracha and a tafel requires a bracha. But the bracha on the ikar exempts the tafel from its own separate independent bracha. Asks the Avnei Nezer, if so, how do we understand the halacha in the Mishnah? How can we say that the bracha on the maliach, on the salty item, exempts the bracha on the bread? And we know that bread requires a brachas hamazon, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, a bracha d'oraisa. However, the brachas recited on ordinary foods is merely midrabanan. It is learned from the svara. It's a logic. How could one partake from physical worldly pleasures without making a bracha? It's a svara. How could a person asloy lahanos min oilam b'lei bracha? As we learned in the beginning of the parak, that's merely midrabanan. So how can we say that the bracha on the maliach, which will be a shahakol with a bar nefashos, how could that exempt the bracha on the bread, which is a brachas hamazon midoraisa? If you would say that a tafel doesn't need a bracha, never needed a bracha to begin with, so okay, here as well, it doesn't need a bracha. But if you maintain that in theory a tafel requires a bracha, but it is included in the bracha on the ikar, how can you include a brachas hamazon, which is a chiv min ha-Torah? How could that be included and covered by a burden of fashas that's recited on the maliach, which is merely drabanan? So the first should give an answer that although we hold that a ikar requires a bracha, but what type of bracha does it need? We know that the brachas midrabanan are derived from the svara that a person, before he partakes in worldly pleasures, he should make a bracha. That's a general bracha on general pleasures. There's another point that one must recite a specific bracha on each specific species, ha'etz, ana'etz, ber pri adam, on a vegetable, etc. And regarding bread, that requires a specific unique bracha, brachas hamazon. Say the mafarshim, this is only on ordinary items which are considered to be ikar. items that are primary foods, but a tafel, a food that is merely a tafel, in this case, the bracha on the tafel is merely the general bracha, thanking Hashem on account of the general physical pleasure derived from the tafel. Why? Because the tafel is not being eaten on account of its own uniqueness, of its own identity. It's a subordinate, it's tafel, it's attached to the ikar. It's really supplementing the achila of the primary food. In this case, the chiyuv bracha on the tafel is not on account of its individuality, but really just a general bracha, a blessing to Hashem on account of the general pleasure that this tafel is providing. In this case, all will agree that even if there's a chiyuv bracha on the tafel, but it's not for its individuality, and therefore certainly it doesn't require brachas hamazon, which is unique to an item of bread. Here he's not eating it for the sake of its bread, he's eating it for the sake of its supplementing the ikar. It's attaching itself to the ikar. It's aiding in the achil of the ikar. The bracha is merely for the pleasure that it provides. It loses its own uniqueness and identity. Here, certainly the bracha is not Birchas HaMazon, it's merely a general bracha on account of the pleasure, which this is certainly a chiyuv d'rabbanan. And therefore, it certainly can be included in the bracha of the ikar, which is b'yirei nefashis. So in conclusion, when one eats peiros genoisa, which are exceptionally sweet, he's supplemented with some salt, with a salty item, and on account of the excess of salt, he'll go and supplement it with some bread to protect himself from the salt harming him. So in this case, everything ultimately is tafel, is batel, to the initial primary food, which is the peiros. Therefore, perhaps ordinarily, bread wouldn't be considered to be a tafel to a different item on account of its chashivitz and significance. But in this case, since the peiros ginoisar are so chashiv, as Rashi says, they're more chashiv than even than bread. And ultimately, everything that follows, the salty item and the bread, are there on account of the peiros ginoisar. They're there to supplement the achila of these special fruits. Therefore, they're considered to be tafel, and no bracha is required. Continues the Gemara regarding peiros ginoisar, how unique and special they were. Omar Rabba bar Bachano, ki avazlinon basrei de Rabbi Yochanan. We would follow Rabbi Yochanan lemeichel peiros ginoisar, to go eat these peiros ginoisar. Ki avinon beimeya, if we were 100 of us coming together, Rabbi Yochanan, minat ktinan lei, each one would hold on to l'chol chad v'chad asor asor. Each one would be given to hold 10 of these fruits for a total of 1,000. V'chi avinon beasor, if we were only 10 of us, each one would be given to hold 100 of these fruits, and we would go along with Rabbi Yochanan where he would eat them. Says the Gemara, how large were they? 100 of these fruits have a masik lutzana, can be contained in a basket, baslasa savi, which was the size of 3 sa. So we're dealing with a large amount of peiros genoisar. V'ochalu, and Rabbi Yochanan ate them all. V'ochalu l'kulu. Umishtaban, after he finished eating this large amount of these peiros genoisar, umishtaban, he would swear, "Delay times Yuna, haven't tasted any food." He says, "Well, what do you mean, Yuna sakadayza, haven't tasted food?" El ema mezayna, meant to say that I haven't become full. I still have an appetite, since these fruits were so delicious. So, even when eaten in large quantities, one would still maintain his appetite. And that's what he meant. He ate all the fruit and he still said, "I'm not full," indicating that they're so delicious. Says the Gemara, "Bavo ochal," he would eat these fruit ad avasarik le dud v'mapuse, until his skin would get smooth, his face would radiate ad avasarik le dudva, until a fly would slip off mapuse from his forehead. His skin would become so smooth and soft that a fly would slide right off his forehead. Says the Gemara, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Hava Achli, they would eat up until Ad Nasar Mazai, until the hair would fall out. Rav Shim Malakish, Hava Achal Ad Mara, until he became delirious. Vamu Rav Yechon, the Nasi, Rav Yechon would send a message to the house of the Nasi. Vamashadale, Rav Yudin Nasi would send Balushi, a troop of men, Abasrei, after him, to accompany him, to escort him, and Maisi Lubesi, to bring him home. Says the Gemara, Ki Asr of Dibi. Omar, he said as follows. Ir Achas, Hoysa Lalyane HaMelech. There was a city that Yanai HaMelech had Bahar HaMelech in the region called Har HaMelech. That was so bountiful, Shemitzin Mimeno. Shishim Ribui Siflei, they would need 600,000 buckets of taris, of cut tuna. This would be to supply, to be the food supply of the Koytitse Te'enim for the fig pickers, Me'er Shabbos L'er Shabbos, from one Erev Shabbos to the other. So this would be the food provided to the multitudes of workers that came to cut the figs, to harvest the figs in 1 week. That's how plentiful, that's how much they were. Kiyosu Rabin Omar, he said, Ilon Echad Hoylo Yana Melech. Yana Melech had a tree, Bar HaMelech, in this region called Har HaMelech, Shoyu Marid Mimenu, Arboim Sa Gezoles. They would take off, they would harvest 40 sa of young pigeons, Misholish Brechas B'chodesh. Meaning that three times a month, three broods, three hatching periods a month, each one would produce, they would harvest, they would take off 40 sa of young pigeons. That's how plentiful, that's how bountiful it was. Kiyosh Rav Yitzchak Omar, he said as follows, Ir Achas Ha'isa Beretz Yisrael, there was a city in Eretz Yisrael, V'gufni Shema. The name was Gufni Shoyeba. It contained Shmoinim Zugim, 80 pairs, Achim of brothers, Kehanim. So we had 80 pairs of Kehanim brothers that were married, Nesuim L'Shmoinim Zugais, Achayas Kehanis, married to 80 pairs of Kehanim sisters. So two brothers, Kehanim, married two sisters. They wanted to maintain the purity of the Kehuna, of the lineage of Kehuna. So they married Kehanim, married Kehanis. Ubatku Rabbanan Misur Nardo, and the Rabbanan checked in Bavel from Surah to Nardo, and they never found this type of phenomenon. They only found Bar Mibanse, the Rav Chizda. The closest they came to this type of thing was the daughters of Rav Chizda. Rav Chizda was a Kohen. So we had two sisters, Kohanis, that were married to two brothers, Davin Asiva, and the Rav Machama, Lamaruk Vachama. Va'afagav, the Inu Avakanta, the women were Kohanim. Inu lo Yavakani. The men were not Kehanim. So this is as close as we came to the phenomenon, to the wondrous phenomenon in the city of Gufnis. Concludes the Gemara, Omara, Kol Sudah Shein Bamelach, Sama Goris Ein Bamaliach, a Sudah meal doesn't contain something salty, Ein a Sudah, it's not considered to be a full-fledged meal, a proper Sudah. Omara B'chia Bar'ava, Omara Yechon, Kol Sudah Shein B'Sreif, doesn't contain soup, Ein a Sudah, that too is not considered to be a proper meal. A meal is meant to contain these items. Continues the Mishnah. Ochal anovim, one who ate grapes. Uteinim, figs, berimoin, or pomegranates. Mevorech aleim sholosh brachos. What is the bracha achron on these items of Shiva Saminim? Sholosh brachos, a full-fledged berachas amazin. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. V'chomam no, bracha achas mein sholosh. One need not recite berachas amazin. The proper bracha is not bracha samayim, but rather the bracha achas mein sholosh, the single bracha that is an abridgment of the three brachas of bracha samazin. Rekiva Omer, afilo ochal shelek v'hu mezoinai, even if one eats a cooked vegetable, v'hu mezoinai, he considered it to be his meal, this is his satiating meal, mevorech alav gimel brachas, he makes a bracha samazin, a full-fledged bracha samazin. This is considered to be a full-fledged meal and requires bracha samazin. So you have three shitas, according to Rav Gamliel, the Shiva Saminim, even the fruit of Shiva Saminim require Birchas Hamazon. According to the Chachamim, no, they require merely a Bracha Achas Mein Sholosh, the Al HaMichya, the Al Eitz, the Al Gefen, as we'll see in the Gemara. Rekiva says, Achirish, even a cooked dish of vegetables, which he considers to be his primer, his meal, requires Birchas Hamazon. Concludes the Mishnah, Hashoy Samayim Letzmoy, if one drinks wine to quench his thirst, Mevorach Shakol Nimedvaray, the bracha prior to drinking is Shakoil Nei B'dvarit. Rav Tafanoim Ha'Bayer Nefash Yisrabeis, Hashem created lives, lots of life, Echasroinon, and their deficiencies, the items that they need to sustain themselves. And this is recited prior to drinking water. Says Gemara, my Ha'im Adu Gamliel, that one makes a Birchas HaMazon after eating any of the Shiva Saminim, Dechsiv, as it says, Eretz Chita V'Sa'ira. So the Pasuk lists the seven species, Uksiv Eretz Asher Meskenus Techeb Alechem, a land that you will eat your bread not without poverty. Uksiv, and what does it say afterwards? it says one is required to make Birchas HaMazon. So we see that Birchas HaMazon is required on Shivas Aminim. Says the Gemara, Rabbanon Eretz Yifsek Inyan. The Torah puts the word Eretz. The Pasuk says Eretz Chita V'Soira, listing all the Shivas Aminim. And then the following Pasuk says Eretz Asher Lo Yibbe Me'eskenu Tzeichu B'Lechem. And then afterwards it says V'Chalta V'Savata. So the fact that the Torah interrupts with the word Eretz, that indicates that V'Chalta V'Savata V'Irachta is not going all the way back to the Shivas Aminim, but rather only on the Lechem that is stated closer to V'Chalta V'Savata V'Irachta. Says the Gemara, what about Rav Gamliel? Rav Gamliel Nami, Eretz Yifsek Inyan. What is Rav Gamliel going to do with this argument? How can he say that V'chalta V'savata V'rachta is going all the way back to the Shivas Aminim? The Torah interrupts it. The Torah makes a hefsek with the word Eretz to indicate that Shivas Aminim are a different category. Says the Gemara, Ahumi Boilei. Rav Gamliel says, no, Shivas Aminim require Birchas HaMazon. Why then does the Pasuk interrupt with the pasuk of Eretz Asher Lo Meskenos Teicha Balechem? That is to teach us that only when it comes to grains, only if it is formed into a bread, then it requires Birchas HaMazon. Let's see. How Meboyle, it's coming to teach us, Limute, to exclude HaKhoises Esachita, one who choose a kernel of wheat. In this case, since it wasn't made into bread, it wasn't made into cereal, in this case, it certainly doesn't require Birchas HaMazon. So, according to Gamliel, Eretz Chita V'Soira, the Pasuk lists the Shivas Aminim, and moves on to tell us that these items require a Birchas HaMazon, V'Chalta V'Savata V'Rachta. The middle Pasuk that says, Eretz Asher Lo Meskenu Tzeichu B'Lechem, the Torah teaches us that regarding grains, this bracha, Birchas HaMazon, will not apply unless it is formed into lechem. But that's only regarding grains. If one is koises zachita, choose wheat, there's no Birchas HaMazon. However, regarding the other Shivas Aminim, like anovim, like te'enim, remind mentioned in the Mishnah, certainly those require Birchas HaMazon. Continues the Gemara, Omar B'Yakov Aridi, Omar B'Chanina, Kol Shum Chameshes Aminim, anything that's made of the Chameshes Mine Dog and the five types of grain. If he made a dish, a cereal, of the five types of grain, the bracha beforehand is Boirei Mine Mezoinis. Ulbasoif, afterwards, bracha achas, main shalish. What makes a bracha? Bracha achas, which is an abbreviation of the three brachas of Birchas HaMazon. So, what are the five grains? That is chita, that is sa'ira, that is kusmin, shibayla shul, and shifayn. Wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oat. These are all included in chita and sa'ira. Why? Because spelt is a min chita, it is a type of chita. And oat and rye are considered to be a type of barley. So they're all included in the chita and sa'ira that is listed in the Torah. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rababar, Mori Omar Shomalevi. Kol Shum is Shiva Saminim. Anything that is from the rest of the Shiva Saminim, the fruits, not the grains. What is the bracha to be recited on them? But chila mevarach by priates. Ul basoif bracha achas mein sholosh. He makes a bracha achas mein sholosh. Says the Gemara, how exactly is the bracha achas mein sholosh formulated? Om le'abayir avdimi. My new bracha achas mein sholosh. What is it? What is contained? What is the text of bracha achas mein sholosh? Om le, he says, depends. A period the eights on fruit, on tree fruit, on figs, dates, etc. The bracha is ala etra plurates. We thank Hashem for the tree and the fruit of the tree, valtumus hasada, the produce from the field, val eretz chemda teruchava, on the eretz, the land, chemda, desirable, good and spacious, shin chat lovesen, you've inherited to our parents. Lechon peria, for us to partake and eat from its fruit, with zbaim mituba, to satiate from its goodness. Racham Hashem alakeinu, ishwal amech, Hashem have mercy on Kal Yisrael v'yishlaim yirecha, yisir yishlaim v'alim gdashecha, v'alim zvechecha, v'alim yizbeach, v'esivne yishalayim yirkotshecha, you should build yishalayim yirkotshecha, mer v'yameinu, speedily nowadays, v'alein yisaycha, and you should bring us up there, v'samcheinu, but gladden us there, ki atam, because you are toiv, you're good umetiv, and you exude goodness, lakoil to all. So this bracha is considered to be Me'ein Shlolish. Why? Because it contains a reference. It's an abridged version of Birchas Hamazon. It contains Birchas Hazan, which is the beginning of the Me'ein Shlolish, thanking Hashem, making reference to the food that Hashem provides. That is the essence of the first bracha, Birchas Hamazon. Then we proceed to thank Hashem for giving us the land. This is in correspondence to the second bracha, Birchas Hamazon, of Noida Lecha. And then Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, this corresponds to the third bracha of Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, and Bayni Yerushalayim Amen. And we conclude, Ki Ata Toivim Eitiv. This is Keneged, the Brichas HaToivim Eitiv, the fourth bracha of Brichas Hamazon. Why do we consider it to be a bracha Achas Me'ein Shlolish if it really contains elements of all four brachas, say the Mefarshim? Because Toivim Eitiv, the fourth bracha of Brichas Hamazon, is merely Midrabanan. Therefore, we refer to the bracha Achas as Brachas Me'ein Shlolish to reference the three brachas Min HaTorah of Brichas Hamazon. Continues the Gemara, okay, so this is the bracha on fruit. What about the chamesha saminim on the five grains? What is the bracha achroina, the bracha Me'ein Shlolish? As the Gemara, al-michya v'al-kalkola, thanking Hashem for the michya, for the livelihood v'al-kalkola, for the sustenance v'al-tumasasada, etc. V'choysem, he concludes, al-oretz v'al-michya, thanking Hashem for giving us the land and the sustenance and the livelihood. Okay, continues the Gemara, michtam b'may chosem. How is one meant to conclude on the al-oretz v'al-pureitz? Ki otzer abdimi, Omar, he said, Rav Chosim b'Rosh Chodesh Baruch Mekadesh Yisrael V'Asher Kadoshim. On Rosh Chodesh, Rav would conclude with the following nusach: Mekadesh Yisrael V'Asher Kadoshim. This is by tefillah, by davening. Now, although one is not meant to lump up, to bunch up two topics within one conclusion, within one chasima, however, Rav would attach these two items: Mekadesh Yisrael V'Asher Kadoshim. Why? Because they're really integrally one item. Hashem, who sanctifies Yisrael, who established the Rosh Chodeshim. So it's really one topic, and therefore it's not considered to be bunching together two items. Hachamai, what about over here? Can one conclude that the bracha with Hala Eretz Vala prayer, thanking Hashem for the land and the fruit, is that considered to be one topic, one item, or is it considered to be two separate items? Says the Gemara, no, it's not a problem. Rav Chizda Amar Hala Eretz Vala prayer, thanking Hashem for the land and its fruit. On the land and the fruit. So apparently, these two things, land and fruit, are interconnected and very much related to each other. We're thanking Hashem for the land that produces the fruit. Therefore, this is a proper chasima, a proper conclusion. But in any case, we have a difference here between Rav Chizda's text of Al Oretz Val Peres Seha, the land and its fruit, whereas Rav Yochanan used to say Al Oretz Val Peres, the land and the fruit. How do we understand this discrepancy? It says the Gemara of Amram, it's not a machlekes at all. It depends where they were located. Holon v'alehu. In Bavel, they would say Al Oretz. Val Peres Seha, thanking Hashem for the land and its fruit, because they were far away from Eretz Yisrael. Holehu, in Eretz Yisrael, if they were located in Eretz Yisrael, the proper nusach was Al Oretz Val Peres, on the land and the fruit, because they're situated in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Rav Yechon said Al Oretz Vala Peres, and Rav Chizda said Al Oretz Vala Peres Seha, its fruit, referring to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, how does that make sense? Maskel Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Inu Achli Vanan Mevarchen. We were sitting in Bavel, and we're thanking Hashem for the fruit that the people in Eretz Yisrael are eating. Why should we say Al Oretz Vala Peres Seha, referring to the fruit of Eretz Yisrael? We're not eating those fruits, we're in Chutz La'aretz. Ella Efuch, he must reverse it and say as follows. Rav Chizda, who was the Chutz La'aretz Zuzum Bavel, he said Al Oretz Vala Peres, on the land and the fruit, meaning the land of Eretz Yisrael, the entire land of the whole world, and the fruit of the whole world. Rav Yechon, who was in Eretz Yisrael, he would say Al Oretz Vala Peres, thank Hashem for the land of Eretz Yisrael and its fruit, because he indeed was eating Peres Eretz Yisrael. So, in summary, what is the Bracha Achroina recited on Shiva Saminim? We have Machlekes, according to Rav Gamliel, one is meant to recite Birchas Hamazon on all the Shiva Saminim, unless he's chewing a chita. According to the Chachamim, it depends. On bread made of the Chameshis Minei Dagon, the bracha is Birchas Hamazon. On a cooked cereal, a tafshil of Dagon, the bracha achrayin is Ala Michya, bracha achas Me'ein Shlolish. On the fruit, bracha is Ala Eitz. Tosis adds another bracha. On wine, the proper bracha on wine is Ala Gefen Val Priya Gefen. In fact, Tosis says if one eats all the items together, He eats a baked item with a fruit, with wine. He's meant to bunch them all together and say one bracha, which includes everything. He's meant to say ala micha val kakola, val agefen al pri agefen, val aetz val pri aetz. Finally, Rav Akiva says, even if one merely eats shelek, a cooked vegetable dish, v'hu mezayna, he considers it to be his meal. It's coming to satiate to provide a mazayn. The bracha on that is birchas hamazayn. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi Mishon Rabbeinu. Al habeya on an egg, val mini kufra on various types of meat. Betchilu mevarach shakel. We make a shakel before and do basoiv burn nefashis rabbis. Only on eggs or meat, they're significant, they're chashav to require bracha achrayna. However, al yarka, on vegetables lie, no bracha achrayna is required. It's not chashav enough. So that is his shita. Rav Yitzchak Amar, afilo yarka, even vegetables require a bracha achrayna of burn nefashis rabbis. Avo maya, but water, lie. Only items of food require bracha achrayna, not maya, which is merely a drink, merely a liquid. Rav Papa Amar, third shita, afilo maya, even water requires a bracha achrayna. Continues the Gemara, Mazutra, Ovet Karavitzu Ardimi. He followed the opinion of Ravitzu Ardimi, the first opinion, and only required the bracha achrayna on eggs, on meat. Rav Sim Barashi, he did Ovet Karavitzchak, he followed the shita of Ravitzchak, that even vegetables require bracha achrayna. Says the Rabbi Simonach, to give you a simon, to assign, so you remember who did what. Chad Ketrei V'Trei Kechad. The shita that is mentioned in a singular name, Mazutra, he's mentioned on his own without his father's name, he did in accordance to the shita of Trey, like the man de Omar that had his name and his father's name mentioned, Rav Yitzchak bar Ardimi. Utrei, the Amir who's mentioned with a double name, his name and his father's name, which is Rav Simi bar Ashi, he did kichad, he followed the opinion of Chad, of the one that was mentioned on his own, which is Rav Yitzchak. Continues the Gemara, Omar Vashi, Ano, I conduct myself in the following manner. Zimna, dechimat karna, when I would remember, avidna kechulu, I followed everybody, even Rav Papa's opinion, and I would make a bracha achrayna even on water. The Mefarshim speak out, why did he only do so when he remembered? Apparently, he held that it wasn't an obligation, it was a good custom, a minhag, and therefore, when he remembered, he followed this minhag. Continues the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Kol shaton bracha la'achrav ton bracha lefanav. Anything that requires a bracha achrona certainly requires a bracha rishona. V'yesh, however, there are some things that shaton bracha lefanav, that although it needs a bracha beforehand, ve'en ton bracha la'achrav, but does not require bracha afterwards. Explains the Gemara. Bishloim la'vitzvar avdimi, it's all well according to the shita of Ritzvar avdimi, who says that only meat, only eggs require bracha achrayna. But vegetables, although it requires a bracha reshayna, bar pri adama, but not a bracha achrayna. So the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says, v'yei shaton bracha lefanav, there are some things that require a bracha before and not afterwards, we're speaking about vegetables, not fuki yarka, to exclude vegetables who don't need a bracha achrayna. The Rav Yitzchak, according to the Shita Rav Yitzchak, fuki maya, it's coming to exclude water that only require bracha before and not afterwards. Ela l'Rav Papa, but according to the Shita Rav Papa, that all items require bracha achrayna. Lafuki mai, what is the Mishnah coming to exclude? Everything requires a bracha achrayna. The Mishnah tells us there are some things that require bracha before and then not afterwards. What is the Mishnah referring to? Everything needs a bracha achrayna. Says the Gemara, lafuki mitzvahs, it's coming to exclude mitzvahs. One performs a mitzvah, for instance, wearing tzitzis, blowing a shofar, shaking lulav, when he completes the mitzvah, no bracha is required, although a bracha is required before fulfilling the mitzvah. So that is what the Mishnah is coming to exclude, mitzvahs. Says the Gemara of Bnei Ma'arava, however, according to the Bnei Ma'arava, the basar the mesalga tefillah, when they removed their tefillin, after they were mesalga tefillin, they would make a bracha, mevarchi asher kitchanu b'mitzvahs yitzivanu lishmer chukav, to comply with Hashem's decrees. As Tosfos explains, that they held that at night, one is not meant to wear tefillin. Laila loves mount tefillin. Therefore, one is required to comply with the decree to remove his tefillin when nighttime comes. Therefore, they held that a bracha is appropriate. Hashem who commanded us to comply with his chukim and to remove the tefillin at the appropriate time. We don't do that because by us, we don't hold of the shita that Laila loves mount tefillin. And therefore, this bracha, we do not follow. However, they who recited this bracha after they removed the tefillin, if so, we find that even a mitzvah requires a bracha afterwards. So now, what is the Mishnah referring to when it says that there are items that require bracha before and not after? It can't be referring to mitzvahs, because tefillin requires bracha even after performing the mitzvah. La'afuki might, what does it come to exclude? It's la'afuki reichni. It's come to exclude a good smelly fragrance, a reyach, although it requires a bracha beforehand, but not afterwards, because it's not significant enough pleasure. The Mefarshim say a person could smell and not get full, as opposed to eating, which he needs to stop at a certain point. Therefore, we see that reyach is not such a tangible thing, and therefore, there's no requirement to make a bracha afterwards. It doesn't satiate you, it doesn't fill you, and therefore, bracha achrona is not applicable. So, in conclusion, what is the halacha regarding bracha achrona? According to the Shita of Rav Yitzchak Ardimi, only beitza or basar requires a bracha achrona, according to Rav Yitzchak. Yorek as well, according to Rav Papa. Even mayim requires, and according to the name Arava, when one removes this tefillin, he would make a bracha, asher kitchonu mitzvos tzvanu, lishmar chukov. The Gemara said that Mazutra follows the opinion of Rav Yitzchak Ardimi. Rav Simon bar Ashi followed the opinion of Rav Yitzchak. And Rav Ashi, finally, the Gemara says, when I remember, I try to follow everybody's opinion and make a bracha achrona, even on water. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rav Yanai, Omer Rav Zeira, kol shu kebeitza, any type of food, the size, the volume of a beitza of an egg, when we compare its health benefits to the actual egg, beitza toivim menu, the actual egg is more beneficial to one's health than any other food of that volume. Ki osu Ravin came, he said, Omar, tova beyosu megulgolta, a partially roasted egg that is still in liquid form, that is better than mishita, than six kaisi, six containers which contain a lug each, six of these containers containing sulta flour. Ki osu Rav Dimi Omar, explained, tova beyosu megulgolta mishita, it is better, a partially roasted egg is better than six of these containers. However, matvisa, if it's fully roasted, then it goes down a bit in value, and it's only better, me'ar, but better than four containers of flour. Mevusholta, if it's cooked in water, then it goes even down, even lower. Koshu kebeitza, on that is applied the phrase that any food that has a volume of a beitza of an egg, when compared to this beitza, this cooked egg, beitza tovim menu, this egg is better. So it doesn't have the same value and same health benefits as the roasted ones, but nevertheless, it's better than any other food. Levar mibistro, it's better than all other foods except for meat. So apparently, eggs and meat are beneficial to one's health, and perhaps this explains the reasoning behind Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi up on the top of the Amud, who said that only on these two items one recites a bar nefashos, perhaps because of their added significance. Continues the Gemara, Rav Kiva Omer, afilu ochal shelach v'mazoyin, even if one merely eats a cooked dish of vegetables, and this is his mazoyin, his sustenance, his meal, he makes a brichas hamazon. Says Gemara, can that be so? Umiyka midi, is there such a thing to have a shelach mazoyin that cooked vegetables considered to be mazoyin? Omer Mashi, yes. Bikelach shel kruv shana, we're speaking about the stalk of cabbage, which is filling, which can be considered to be mazoyin. Continues the Gemara with a brisa, alissas, a list of health benefit tips. Tana Rabbana, t'choil, a spleen, yafil lishinayim. One eats spleen, it is beneficial to one's teeth. The kosh of nemeayim, but it is harmful for the intestines. Creation leaks. Kosh lishinayim are harmful for the teeth. The yafil nemeayim are beneficial for the intestines. Kol yorok chai, all raw vegetables, meirik. It pales one's appearance, one's countenance. The kol katan maktin, anything small, impedes one's growth. If one eats something which isn't fully ripe, fully grown, it impedes his growth. V'chol nefesh, all life, meshav es nefesh, revitalizes life, returns life. Rashi says is referring to something which was alive and is eaten as is. Shalim, for instance, Rashi says small fish which are fully grown, they're fully developed. They only grow to this size, like sardines, etc. So if he eats it, it's eaten as is. Shalim. This is what the Brai is referring to, called nefesh, meshav es nefesh. This revitalizes, restores one's life. The chol kar of the nefesh, anything that's found close to the source of life, the Gemara will explain, meshav es nefesh, it restores life. Kruv lemazoin, cabbage is meant as mazoin. Utrodin, beets are meant lerefuah, for health purposes, as a cure. Oyloi lebayis, woe to the bayis, to the stomach. Shalefes, that turnips, averis besoichai, that a turnip passes through it. A turnip is harmful. Omar, we learned Choyl, spleen, Yafel Ishnaim is good for the teeth, because I am bad for the intestines. Maitakante, so how can he derive the benefit without the side effects? Says the Gemara, Asev in his diet, he chews it, so his teeth derive the benefit, but then he spits it out and he doesn't take it into his intestines. Creation, leaks, Koshan Ishnaim are bad for the teeth, Yafel Ishnaim are good for the intestines. Maitakante, how should he go and eat this? These kreishim, if they're bad for the teeth, says Gemara l'shlekinu, he should cook them and get them really soft, overcook them so he doesn't need to chew them. V'nivle'inu, and then he'll swallow it so he has the benefits for his name ayim without affecting his teeth. Kol yorok chai moirik, all raw vegetables, pale ones, continence, one's appearance. Oh, Rav Yitzchak, this is only said besudu v'shoyin eshlachar koz, only the first meal after bloodletting. V'omer Rav Yitzchak, another halacha, kol oichel yorok koydim arba shoyis, one who eats raw vegetables before 4 hours in a day, which are generally the meal time, so one who eats the vegetables before his meal on an empty stomach, asol esapu imenu, you may not speak with and converse with this person. Why? My time mishum reicha, on account of the bad odor that emanates from the vegetables that are eaten on an empty stomach. V'omer Rav Yitzchak, another thing, asol adam. One may not eat raw vegetables on an empty stomach. So he taught us two halachas. Don't eat vegetables on an empty stomach, and one who has done so, don't converse with him, because the odor emanating from that person on account of him having eaten the vegetables on his empty stomach is harmful to the other person's empty stomach. Says the Gemara the following story. They were sitting, they were served raw vegetables before they ate, before Arba Shoyis. Amei Mervashi Ochel, they ate, even though it was an empty stomach. Mazrut Shalai Ochel, he refrained from eating, since he didn't want to eat the vegetables on an empty stomach. Amar Leis, they turned to him and they said, Mai Daitach, what is the reason for your conduct? Because of Rav Yitzchak, right? Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kol Ochel Yorah Kodim Arba Shoyis, Osel Esapim Menu Shum Reicha. One who eats raw vegetables on an empty stomach, one may not converse with him on account of the bad odor. If so, v'hanan, the kachlinon, we have eaten the raw vegetables on an empty stomach, become ishtayis, but then you converse with us. So if you hold the Rav Yitzchak, why don't you refrain also from conversing with us? Just as you refrain from eating the vegetables on an empty stomach, you should not speak to us on account of the odor. Amar Luis, he told them, he responded as follows. Anok, idach Rav Yitzchak sfirli, I only hold of the other halacha Rav Yitzchak. Dom Rav Yitzchak, ashal adam, sheyoichel yorek chai kodem Arba Shoyis. One is not meant to eat raw vegetables on an empty stomach. So that I comply with, that I agree with. The other saying of Rav Yitzchak that says that you may not converse with one who has done so, with one who has eaten the raw vegetables on an empty stomach, that I don't agree with, therefore I refrain from eating on an empty stomach. But I'll still converse with you, despite the fact that you have not complied with that. Continues the Gemara. Kol katan maktin, anything that is small, that hasn't grown to its full size, it impedes one's growth if he eats it. Amar Rav Chisda, afilu gadya barzuz, even a small goat, a kid, which is fatty and expensive, it costs a zuz. Nevertheless, since it's still small, hasn't fully grown, so it's still considered to be a katan, and one should not eat it. V'loy amaron, this is only a concern, Elder Lesbe River, if it hasn't grown to at least a quarter of its future size. Aval Isbe River, but if the animal has come to a quarter of its full mature size, Leslumba is not a concern. That is not considered to be Kol Katan Maktin. Kol Nefesh, Meshiv Nefesh, the Brisa told us, anything with life restores life. Omer Rav Papa, Afilu Gildini Devegili, even those little fish that swim around in the swamps near the reeds, the Vegili, they too are considered to be called nefesh, meshiv nefesh, even though they're very small. But nevertheless, since they're grown to their full size, this is the size that they grow to. Therefore, it's not considered to be called katan maktin, but rather called nefesh, meshiv nefesh. Kol akor, the Brisa told us, kol akor of the nefesh, anything close to the source of life, meshiv es nefesh, restores life. Amar b'ach bar Yaakov is referring to unka. It's referring to the meat by the neck of the animal, which is where the makam hashchita is, where the dam hanefesh flows out, considered to be close to the life of the animal. Omer le'rova l'shami, ki ma'isis li'umta de birsa, when you go get from me a piece of meat, Torach, trouble yourself to bring me v'aisili me'echa, the mikrav, bring me the meat from where it is close, the mikrav lebei baruch, which is close to the bracha, the place where they shecht and they make the bracha l'ashchita, that's where you should get the meat from. Continue the braisa, kruv l'mazayin, cabbage is for satiation, for a meal, for mazayin. Utradin l'refua, beets are meant as a cure. So that implies that cabbage is not meant for refuah. It says the Gemara, kruv l'mazayin in is cabbage for mazayin l'refuah loy, but not meant as a refuah. We learned otherwise. V'atanya, we learned shisha dvarim. There are six items. Merapin es hachayle mecholyoy. They cure the chayle, the sick person, from his sickness. Urfos refuah, and their effect is permanent. Their refuah, their cure is permanent. Ve'elhuin. These are six items. Kruv, cabbage, utradin. Beets, or may sisin, the soup from this plant called sisin. Vikeva, this is one of the stomachs of the animal. The haras, the womb of the animal. Virseris hakovet, the diaphragm. So the Brisa lists kruv as something which provides a cure. Elo, you must say, emo, you must say as follows. Kruv aflamazin. Kruv not only does it have the power to cure, but also it is considered to be muzin. The last item in the Brisa was woe to the home, to the stomach, that the turnip passes through it, because it's harmful. Says Gemara, Eini, is it really harmful? Didn't Rabbi tell a servant, when you notice turnips out in the market, don't turn to me and say, but my karchas rifta, what are you going to eat your bread with? Meaning, you should automatically assume that I would like to have the turnips. So we see that it is not harmful at all. Amar Abaye, it depends. On its own, it can be mazik, it's harmful. Mibli basar means on its own. If it wasn't cooked together with meat, because when it's cooked with meat, the meat blunts its power, it weakens its effect, and removes its harmful effect. Vrava amar mibli yayin, if one eats the turnips without drinking wine afterwards, that's harmful. But if one ensures to drink wine afterwards, then that's okay. Itzma, we learned, Rav Amar Mibli Basar, without meat, Shmuel Amar Mibli Eitzim, without overcooking it with lots of wood. If you overcook the turnips, that also removes its harmful effect. Rav Yochanan Amar Mibli Yayin, if one doesn't drink wine afterwards, that's a problem. But if he drinks the wine, then that removes its harmful effect. Omalei Rav Rav Papa, suddenly, Rav Papa was a beer maker. So Rav Papa turned to him and he said, suddenly, You beer maker, anan by us tavrin lebi biser v'chamra. We break its power, its harmful effect, with the meat, with the wine. But you atun deloina fishlucha chamra. You used to brew beer with dates, so they weren't accustomed to drinking. They don't have lots of wine. So how do you break the effect? How do you deal with the turnips? But my tavrislo, how do you break it? How do you break the effect? We use lots of wood. We overcook it, and that takes away the harmful effect of the turnips. As the Gemara says, ki ha, like this, the visu, the rapapa, the wife of rapapa, basa the mabashla, after she cooked it, then she went ahead and she cooked it again. Tavrla, she broke its power, bitamnan, with 80 ufi prasyaiso, with 10 large pieces of wood. By cooking it and cooking it, this took away its harmful effect, and then it was fit to be eaten. Tana rabban olik na brais, dog katam aliyach, a small salted fish, pamshu mamis. Occasionally, it can cause one death if he eats it. When? B'shiva, on the 7th day of its being salted. B'shiva asar, on the 17th day. Or b'eser b'shiva, on the 27th day. V'amar, some say b'eser b'shloisha, on the 23rd day. V'lo yamar, and this is only a concern. El b'matvi l'matvi. If it's partially roasted, ava matvi shapir. But if it's fully roasted, less l'mad, it's not a concern, even during those days. Or the lo yamatvi shapir, and even if it's not really fully roasted, lo yamarn, the concern is only el de lo shaseh basri shechar, if he hadn't added beer afterwards. Alo shaseh basri shechra, but if he ensures and he makes sure to drink beer afterwards, less lamba, that's not a concern, because the harmful effect will no longer affect him.